Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Hey, you know it's Taz and
Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Live Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike Pete across the way, Bogish, with your updates. NCAA tournament in full focus. And let's welcome aboard right now a North Carolina legend. And that is Eric Montross, UNC Radio Network analyst now. Hey, Eric, Taz of the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We certainly appreciate it.
Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Do well, Eric. How's everything? You excited for the start of the tournament come Thursday?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's this is the best time of year. So if you're unless you don't have a pulse, this is an exciting time of year. So this is great. Hey, we're looking forward to it and heading to Columbus this evening.
So let me ask you, man, how fun the season has been? You watching this team grow? Grow to the number one seed.
Yeah, I think it's really changed a lot. If you had asked me, even 6 weeks ago, is Carolina number one seed, I would have said respectfully no. They have really improved themselves over the last 6 weeks of the season. Of course, they were undefeated in the ACC on the road, which is a pretty nice feather in the cap. But they're tending to win more games without just relying upon their shooting, which is good. So that's more of the Carolina style, to win with defense, creating their offense. And despite the loss to Duke in the ACC tournament, that was a situation where, you're 0 of 13 from deep in the second half with three of your key guys, shooters. And that was a little bit of too big of a mountain to climb. But the team's definitely improved.
They have, and you mentioned 6 weeks ago you never envisioned it. Respectfully, though, Eric, when you look at this team as a number one seed and how well they're playing right now, what's the biggest reservation you have about this Tar Heel team going into the tourney?
Well, I think we still have to be proved against good size. So I think you don't have to look too deep, even within our bracket, to find teams that have got good interior size. And I think that's the place where, and it's a known liability. It's something that Carolina has long time had substantial size in the post and size that played a lot. Right now, Garrison Brooks has been terrific for us this year. He's a guy that has come in and probably overachieved for what he has, what he brought to the table, because he's not a five man, and Luke May is not a four or five. He's really more of a three. He's a guy that can work into a four body, but he's not a guy that's going to just bang in the post. So I think the thing to answer your question most clearly is just to say, if you come up against a 7-footer, think about Texas A&M. Last year, Carolina lost Texas A&M, and there were two guys in the post that just beat us to a pulp. So I think that's the piece that we're going to have to see. Can we play against those type of teams this time around?
Hey, Eric, if you don't mind, speak on the great job that Coach Roy Williams has done this year. USA Today Sports National Coach of the Year. I mean, spectacular. Also, just Moose and I were just talking about how great of a sharp dresser he is in that pinstripe suit, yes. I got to say. but speak on that, man, if you don't mind, how awesome of a job Coach Williams has done here.
Well, I think that, it's going to sound very partisan coming from me, but I think that if I try to take off the Tar Heel hat, I think you just look at the consistency. When you think about, and again, I know that's a yearly award, but I think that what it speaks to is the consistent excellence that Coach Williams has been able to find. It doesn't mean that he's winning a championship every year, but that's not what the metrics for this Coach of the Year honor are. The metrics are: take a team, develop them beyond what you think their normal capacity would be, and do it on a regular basis. And he's done that. And I think that, for a lot of people, when you think about Coach Williams, whether he's your favorite coach or your least favorite coach, you still respect the fact that he takes a group of young men at the beginning of the year. He pushes them on out-of-conference schedule, goes, you know, we play Gonzaga early, we play Kentucky, you play Michigan. Those are things that a lot of other teams don't want to do early, and he does that, and he pushes his team to develop. And then about in January, all of us Tar Heels, we start thinking, well, boy, how good are we? I don't know if we're really that good. We're taking some on the chin. And then mid-February, we all start saying, well, here he goes again. You know, he's rounding this crew into shape. And I just think that's the metrics of Coach Williams, and I think it's a hallmark of really good coaches.
You know, Eric, I want to get your thoughts on some of these other teams you saw throughout the year coming out of the ACC. A lot of people, and they certainly had a very good run in the ACC tournament, are talking up Florida State. How good do you think this Leonard Hamilton team is with the Seminoles?
You know, another great example in Leonard Hamilton of a coach who is very consistent. He's consistently good. I mean, you can close your eyes and know what kind of team you're going to see coming out of Florida State. They are good defensively, maybe not as good defensively as they have been in some of the years past, but they're still pretty darn stingy on defense. I think that they have that kind of uncanny knack to some nights be terrific, and some nights they're just above average. But I think they've got that ability to push the pedal pretty far, and on those nights, they're a team that could upset a lot of people. So I think that, you know, they're athletic, they're drivers to the basket. They can rebound pretty well. They've got some pretty substantial side. Chris Kumaji, of course, is 7'4". And he's a senior this year. You know, going into the ACC tournament, I had not been as impressed with Kumaji, but now he is the guy they are actually looking to use. And at 7'4", there are just not that many players in college basketball that it can affect him. And he's not a 20-10 guy, but if he can give them 10-10, he's a real difference maker.
You're listening to Taz and Amus, and our special guest right now is Eric Montrose, UNC Radio Network analyst and legendary Tar Heels center. So, Eric, let me ask you, because you've seen both, right, with Duke, your impressions, the difference between Duke with or without Zion Williamson?
Well, number one, Williamson is a terrific player, absolutely terrific player. All of his accolades are well-deserved. He is really something to watch.
Yes.
And I think that when you look at the thing that is almost most impressive to me, I suppose there's a long list, right? Like a lot of people, you know, you see him on TV and it's one thing, you see him in person and you think, holy cow, this guy is just, he's really something. And I think the thing that I've been most impressed with are his quickness off the floor. So his ability to pick up an offensive rebound. Now, maybe some of the old schoolers will remember a guy that played in the Tar Heel jersey named Antoine Jamison, who was just really quick off the ground. He could jump twice or three times before his opponent could get off the ground and back down and try to get back up. So, you know, Williamson is terrific at an offensive rebound. It's honestly how one of the most key plays that beat the Tar Heels in the ACC tournament was his ability to get off the ground so quickly, but also how explosive he is laterally. You just watch and see what he does to clean up situations. And he plays hard on both ends of the court, which that is really impressive to see out of a kid with that kind of talent.
You know, Eric, playing off that conversation though with Williamson, a lot of people have questioned how his game would translate to the next level because of just how big he is right now. You know, as a college freshman, what do you see him as an NBA player? You know, how do you think he translates physically to the next level?
Well, I think, you know, the obvious answer is, well, we just have to kind of wait and see. However, I would say this. To me, he's, and I don't know if people will think this is a gross overstatement. Here's how I express his athleticism as kind of the athleticism of a Westbrook in the body of a Charles Barkley. And so if you take that, then I think he translates pretty darn well. The game is becoming more about mobility and strength and explosiveness. And the fact is, I mean, nobody wants to guard LeBron because he's explosive. He drives the ball. The thing about Zion is that when he gets the basketball, there's very few times is there ever a hesitation before he goes into the move. And he is so explosive that he is incredibly hard to guard. If you're on him tight and the guy catches the ball, typically you have a half count before a player will make an offensive move. Williamson, in a lot of cases, just goes right into the move. And because he's so quick, he gets ahead of his defender. I think that translates at any level. And I think with his explosiveness and strength, I don't know. I mean, guys, would you not draft him and leave somebody else? I think he's the guy. He's the best in the
Eric,
draft.
The Knicks are tanking for him.
That's true right there, man. Eric, about Zion and Duke. So what, I mean, you've seen both, right? You've seen this Duke team. With and without Zion, so can you give us your expertise breakdown on Duke with and without Zion?
Yeah, so I totally left that piece out of the equation. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I didn't answer that part of the question, but you know they're very different. I mean, I'm not going to say that they're not extremely talented without Zion. They are. I mean, they've got guys. They're just oozing with talent. When you look at Barrett and Reddish and Trey Jones. A lot of people for a long time thought that Trey Jones was the straw that stirred the drink for the Blue Devils, and I'm not so sure that that's an incorrect statement. You know, he's the guy that as a defender and as a ball handler, he's one of the very few players on that team, if any. I mean, no one averages more minutes per game. And if you know, Coach Krzyzewski's pretty transparent with a lot of things, and one of the ways you can see it is who plays the most. He knows how valuable Trey Jones is to that team, and Trey's out there all the time. So he has to be there. He also, when you look at Barrett, I think, plays extremely hard on offense, doesn't always play hard on defense, but he's a terrific player, obviously. Reddish is a guy that I think when Zion came back, he sometimes has gotten lost a little bit in the offense, but certainly highly capable. So this team changes a lot when Zion's in. As you would suspect, he's kind of the sweeper on defense for everybody. He can make up for a lot of mistakes because of his quickness to get back and challenge the ball. I think that with him, they're absolutely a team that should be picked to be competing in the Final Four.
We're talking to Eric Montrose, UNC Radio Network analyst, obviously a legendary North Carolina Tar Heel. Eric, one more question for me on an ACC team because, you know, he's a wonderful coach, as we all know, and what Tony Bennett has done at Virginia. They come off the loss a year ago in the tournament as a one seed, becoming the first team ever to lose to a 16. What about this Virginia team? Boeheim up at Syracuse said by far he thought this was the best offensive team that Bennett's ever had at Virginia. What about this Virginia team going into this tournament this year as a number one seed?
Well, I think he's right. I think that Virginia does have the best offensive capacity of any team that Tony's had. And I got to tell you, of all the coaches that I've seen, if you love the game of basketball, just the pure mechanics of the game, you got to be a Tony Bennett fan because he is that kind of coach. He takes... You know, he coaches his players, he turns them into a sponge, and then they spit out this really polished product. Now, I know that they obviously were the one number one that lost to a 16 in the history of the NCAA tournament last year, but he's a great coach. This year's team, you know, DeAndre Hunter is a real game changer for the Cavaliers because he is that really athletic 6'8" guy, swing player, wing player that is able to score, drive to the basket, pull up at 15 feet, have enough on his drive to push a defender back and then elevate and score. Kyle Guy, although he didn't have a great final game against Florida State, he is an unbelievably good shooter. He was coming in shooting something crazy into the ACC tournament, like 49% from deep. Also, when you look at Ty Jerome is a guy that a lot of NBA players or NBA scouts are looking at as a potential guy to go to the next level. He's kind of an unorthodox package for that, but he's a very smart player. So you've got guys that have some veteranship under Tony's program, coupled with the fact that they can score. So I think, again, they didn't look great in the loss in the ACC tournament. That was a little bit of a moment where you had to bang your head a little bit. But I think that this Virginia team is a lot better than they were last year.
You know, when you look at it, the road to Minneapolis, Eric, and, you know, you were obviously a part of it down in North Carolina. What the difference for those that were not big-time college basketball players and never had an opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament? We know there's a difference between the regular season and the ACC tournament or your respective conference tournament. How big of a difference is there from regular season college basketball to the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think that the best way to, and it's hardly describable, you're right. It's very difficult to put into words, and I think that's why you hear a lot of players and coaches try to find the adjectives to describe the enthusiasm that surrounds the NCAA tournament and just that heartbeat of the tournament. And it's hard to find because everything becomes so polished. Everything is on such a big stage. The media interactions you're always up on the dais in the big media room. You're the bright lights. There's the fanfare and the festivities. So everything, and this is also everything that you've been working towards, is to make the tournament and have a chance to dance. So this, to me, I think it's just the chance to compete at the highest level of your particular sport and know that you could be the one to finish at the top of the mountain. And if you do, then you're forever etched into history. And that's why there's this fanfare and festivity around this game and around these moments for these players, and they absolutely love it. There is nothing like it. And it is something that is really wonderful within college athletics.
And final one, Eric, Taz and I were talking about it before we welcomed you aboard the show. And we got a shot at it this year because, you know, that Carolina squad's real good. We know how good Duke is. If we should ever get Duke in Carolina for a national championship in Minneapolis, I mean, that would be – we talk about how great that rivalry is now. I mean, that would be an off-the-charts Monday night, Eric.
Yeah, I think when you say that, it's a lot of Tar Heel and Duke fans do what I just did, which is a deep sigh, like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not sure we want to go there, because I think that's a game changer, is all of a sudden you put it on that kind of stage. But I will tell you this, to play a team for the fourth, and the reason why we all sigh is because to play a team for the fourth time and to have something like that, and hopefully it happens, right? Because hopefully both teams are good enough to get there. But to think about playing that rubber match on the fourth game, oh my goodness. I mean, this is, you take two Hall of Fame coaches, you take the caliber of players, and you think who's going to find the chink in the armor. But, you know, it could happen, as you said. There have been other years where people thought it could happen, and it hasn't. But
right. No, true. Chance. You're right. You know, but, I mean, Duke, you know, you look at their biggest issue, you got Michigan State. You know, you got Kentucky. Now, P.J. Washington's walking around in a walking boot. They're saying it's precautionary for the Wildcats. And certainly, you know, you look at the region Carolina is, but as well as the Tar Heels played the last 6 weeks, you know, Roy's got them really cooking. I mean, you got to feel good about this Carolina team going into the tournament.
No, I do. I do. I think that there's, again, I don't think there's any, and this is not a knock against Duke, but I don't think there's any substitute for veteranship. And when you have great coaches who have players that have learned the game, I think there's a likelihood that their performance at the highest level can occur. Yeah. And I think that's something that you take less of the unknowns, less of the questions out of the equation. But, you know, Carolina's good. They're, I think that they have expectations. Cam Johnson, who has really been fun to watch, first team all ACC, of course, the transfer from Pitt 2 years ago, has developed into just a really terrific dynamic player for Carolina. And around the country, people are starting to really notice him. And he said, you know, they were asking about his accomplishments, and I won't do it complete justice. It was a quote on Twitter, and I'm not much of a Twitterer, but he said something about you know, how your accomplishments thus far and going to the tournament. He said, the only thing I've done in the tournament so far is get stomped by Texas A&M. He said, we have higher aspirations than just that. The competitive fire in us as seniors going out have a real desire to end on a high note. And I think that's not just indicative of Carolina, but to your prior question about what does it mean to compete in the NCAA, you get a chance to compete against the best of the best. And every school in the country vies for these positions. And once you're here, there's so much enjoyment and excitement around it. And he just happened to capture the moment for Carolina.
Legendary Tar Heel, Eric Montross, now part of the North Carolina radio team as an analyst, does a great job. Hey, Eric, thank you for spending a couple minutes with us this morning. We certainly appreciate it. Safe flight, safe travel out to Columbus, and enjoy the tournament, all right?
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, hopefully we're talking again prior to that game that you talked about having to play for a fourth time.
I know you don't want to say it, Eric. Safe trip.
Don't say it, man.
Take care, buddy.
You got it. That's Eric Montross. Give me a great feel.
It'll be tough coming that Midwest, though. They got you know.
They do. No,
you got Kentucky,
do.
You got Auburn, you got Houston's who's good. I'm just saying that you got.
True,
it's gonna be rough.
No, it is gonna be difficult, and you got Kentucky in that region. But I mentioned it at the end there, PJ Washington, the Kentucky big man, leading scorer, is in a walking boot. And
yeah,
now Kentucky says it's for precautionary reasons. Do you know of anybody that puts a walking boot on for precautionary reasons?
No. I knew a guy in wrestling who wore one as a gimmick to stomp on a guy, but there was nothing wrong with his foot.
Right,
so, but that's
right.
Pro wrestling.
No,
to answer your question, no, I don't know.
Imagine Bisseglia walks in and he's got a walking boot on.
Just in case something happens, guys, I'm wearing a boot.
Right,
I
had a feeling I might trip today, so yeah. I put the boot. Like, who does that?
It's like walking around with a hockey helmet on, in case I fall.
Right. Until tomorrow.
Just precautionary.
855-212-4227 is your number to call. Remember, sign up for the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge. Breakfast is on the line? Is that this?
That's what we figured out, Moose.
Don't be cranky. Don't be cranky.
Whatever you want to do, bro.
No. Whatever I want to do. What do you mean? Yes, I threw my hands up. I said mercy. Don't put anything on the line.
Whatever you want to do.
And fill out the first bracket ever with nothing on the line for myself.
We really got to go to break, Pete.
I know. Pete, we're going to break.
Okay, bro.
Staring at
look,
us. It's Taz of the Moose. CBS Sports Radio.
Who will be college basketball's national champion? Make sure you call in and give your opinion on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Taz and the Moose with you. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance. We're going to be joined coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Jeff Jones, ODU, Old Dominion, men's basketball head coach, is going to join Taz and myself coming your way about 8:40 a.m. Eastern time. But first...
Wow.
Third and final time. What's up, man?
Word up, Moose. This report is
slang talk
sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. It is Belmont, not Temple, headed to Jacksonville to take on Maryland tomorrow. The Bruins, too much for the Owls, especially in the second half last night in Dayton.
Kunkel lob it to Musinski. Mid-block left against the flat piece. Pounds it twice, three times, four times. Turns toward the baseline, and he hooks it in off the glass. The array of post moves by the freshman, Nick Musinski.
Ted Emmerich on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Nick Musinski, 16 points and four boards, playing on an injured ankle. Belmont pulled away from Temple for an 81-70W, the first tourney victory in program history. The same for Fairleigh Dickinson, 82-76 over Prairie View A&M to start last night at the first four.
I'm just interrupting.
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, so I was laughing because I didn't know my mic was on. But no, my wife just texted me because she was watching TV this morning. She saw the information with Trout's contract, you know, with the money he's getting, the 400 and change, 400 million. And, you know, my son years ago left baseball for lacrosse. She goes, geez, our kids should have stuck with baseball. I'm like, yeah. So that's what that interruption was for. Okay, continue. That's funny. I just felt like sharing that. Well, because I snickered and I didn't know my mic was on. Very unprofessional. Yeah. Now my mic will be off.
Thanks, Taz. Taz's mic is off. FDU was down 13 in each half. Darnell Edge scored 33. Jaleel Jenkins added 20 after halftime. Head coach Greg Herenda, post-game guest with our Pharrell on the bench.
Our bus is dead quiet. They're exhausted. It's physically and mentally and spiritually challenging to do what they just did, but God bless them. They did it, and I was happy to go on for the ride.
FDU gets Gonzaga tomorrow in Salt Lake City. North Carolina Central and North Dakota State play tonight in Dayton for the right to lose to Duke on Friday. Arizona State and St. John's follow. That winner takes on sixth-seeded Buffalo in Tulsa. NBA teams were 3-3028 when trailing by 25 points or more through three quarters. And then the Nets won in Sacramento last night, 123-121, down exactly 25 as the fourth quarter began. Head coach Kenny Atkinson.
I think we got it to 12. I was like, wait a second, this is possible. And then, you know, I think we cut it to 10, and then it's like, okay, it's game on now, and ended up closing it out.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson got the game winner with 0.8 of a second left. D'Angelo Russell scored 27 in the fourth alone, a career-high 44 for the game. The Clippers fought off the Pacers, 115-109. The Bucks down the Lakers, 115-101, with Giannis and LeBron out injured. Golden State a 117-101 win in Minnesota, and the Rockets down the Hawks 121-105.
I don't know.
Houston's won 12
of
13.
I'm concerned about this thing that Moose was saying. I don't know if you heard it, maybe, about P.J. Washington, Kentucky. I'm reading more into this, Moose. You're right. This is sketchy. This is going to mess up my whole bracket about the walking boot.
Yeah.
Okay. You found this information too,
Andy? I mean, I saw it. Yeah. I haven't made any phone calls yet.
I'm concerned here about this.
It's too early for breaking
news. We need
news.
To have our team delve into this more seriously, because this is going to really affect. I think there's more to this. There's definitely more to this, to your implications.
Which team would we put on this? Our medical staff?
This calls Moose, and then you keep answering it.
Was that he has a walking boot on?
Yeah, but your implication was there could be more to this. And you were right, and Andrew agrees.
Well, then don't pick him.
I'd say pick him.
Simple. Thanks, Moose.
Well, because then that would be using that information wisely, or you could go against the tide and pick them.
He's the leading scorer, rebound Jones.
I know. Now the decision is yours.
The decision is yours.
I like to share my thoughts with the audience and you people.
I agree with that. But now you should be, if you pick Kentucky, so you had Kentucky win the national title?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
Get your Kentucky insider on tomorrow. What do you think?
Yes.
Well,
why don't you get P.J. Washington, Mike? Be a real producer.
That's it. There you go. Wow. Look at that.
I could see them allowing that.
Attaboy.
Bogus, you done?
How about a quick baseball score? This one is nice. For real. It's in Tokyo, bottom eight. Seattle leads Oakland 9-7.
Time right now to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Sam in Sacramento. Do you think Doc Rivers should take the Lakers' job? Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Keeping a car clean is a simple and expensive form of maintenance, and O'Reilly Auto Parts has the cleaning and detailing products you need, including washes, waxes, polishes, leather, and vinyl care. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for a clean car month. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You kind of shut those down. I mean, so there were a lot of rumors. Mm. We all know Luke Walton's days as Laker head coach here are numbered, Taz.
Yes, sir.
But Doc Rivers kind of shut those rumors down on Tuesday night. When he said that they agreed to a contract extension, but he said an opt out did exist to make sure it was the right fit for everyone. Rivers said that's what's being replaced with a long term deal. So initially he signed a short term contract extension where there was an opt out, but he said that they had reached a deal on a long term commitment.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he's Doc Rivers. I mean, if he was with the Lakers, it'd be very interesting. I mean, right in the same city.
That'd be great,
I think it'd be great. But, yeah, no, I mean, so, yeah, it's really.
I mean, I'm sure he'd be interested. I wouldn't say I'm sure. He's in a spot in Los Angeles with the Clippers where he lost some power, but he didn't lose his job. He and the owner, Ballmer, have a good relationship, good rapport, Taz. I'm sure he finds it to be, nice to hear his name bandied about, but there is the opt-out was removed. The short-term deal with the opt-out was changed to a contract extension. There is no opt-out for Doc Rivers, and he's property of the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, could that change? We saw Doc Rivers under contract with the Boston Celtics, and he ended up in Los Angeles with the Clippers. I find it, though, hard, Taz, to think the Clippers would engage with the Lakers in any sort of compensation for Doc, the fact that they're in the same city.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's the Clippers and the Lakers. If you're the Clippers, you can't be doing that.
No. And just looking at Rivers alone, like if you're Doc Rivers, though, I mean, with his years in the game, his experience, yada yada, all that. Just put aside everything, the language of this contract. Let's say would you want to? Would you even want to go to the Lakers and deal with everything that's going on there with Magic Johnson, the LeBron James show?
The draw of LeBron is enticing.
I don't know. I mean, I know he's buddies with Magic Johnson, but still, I don't. I don't think
if you're an established guy like Doc.
I don't know, dude. The LeBron thing is like, I watched a little bit of the game yesterday. He didn't play. LeBron.
No, he didn't play.
Was he even there? I didn't even see him there. Was he there? I didn't see him.
I'm not sure.
It's kind of hard to miss.
But
I didn't see him.
I get if you're not an established coach, you don't want to necessarily go to LeBron. But if you're a guy like Doc Rivers, I mean, he's the best player in the world. The challenge, bring a championship to Los Angeles. But he closed that out saying that he'd need Bomber to basically tell him to get out.
Enough. Done.
Yeah. Now, he did use the caveat the Lakers have a head coach. I mean, Doc's smarter than that.
Yeah,
he's not going to talk about that head coaching job with Walton still sitting there. That's out of respect. But he knows that Walton's out. Everyone knows that Walton's done.
Yeah. Sacrificial Lamb Jones. Yeah. That's Luke Walton.
We're going to talk to Old Dominion men's basketball coach Jeff Jones. Will join Taz and myself. We're going to do that next. It's a Wednesday morning. A good morning, everybody. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber. Be sure to listen to CBS Sports Radio on the go. Download the radio.com app and favorite CBS Sports Radio today.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
NCAA tournament gets going in full flight. Certainly starting your way Thursday. Two playing games in Dayton, Ohio last night. Two tonight. Highlighted certainly by Arizona State and St. John's. That is your late game. Let's welcome aboard right now. And that is Old Dominion head coach. And that is Jeff Jones coming out of Conference USA. Hey, coach, congratulations on the conference title and the tournament victory there. Congratulations on the berth in the NCAA tournament.
Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys, and thank you. We're thrilled, to say the least.
Awesome. That's great. Coach, so this has got to be super exciting. How do you, how do you keep the team locked in right now? A big moment for you guys to go into this thing here. I'm sure everybody's focused, and you're keeping the kids in line right now, getting ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I didn't know exactly how they'd react. Yesterday was the first from a physical standpoint, really intense practice we had. Sunday we were just trying to get back from Texas after the conference tournament win. Monday we walked through and did a lot of film stuff. But yesterday was the day where we really wanted to go through our paces and have a real good work day. The biggest thing I could say is we're greedy, and we want to win another game.
Nice.
We're excited about having the opportunity to play another game, and our guys were as focused as I've seen them in a while.
Coach, what was what challenges do the Boilermakers of Purdue present your team in the opening round?
Well, to start off with, probably their most recognizable player, Carson Edwards, is averaging about 23 points a game. He has certainly what I would consider a green light. He's in attack mode at all times, so you've got to account for him. Then they've got guys that are role players. Sometimes that has a negative connotation, but a guy like Ryan Klein or Eifert or Harm, their big 7-foot center. Those guys all do a great job of playing roles and making them a very well rounded team. Their point guard, I guess, Nojel Eastern, is 6'6", 220, and he's a bear. Rarely shoots a jump shot, but makes you have to account for him because he drives the ball so well. So they're a balanced team. And then, you know, Matt Painter, he's just such a good coach. I would say he's got to be on the list of the top underrated coaches in the country, and he's just done a great job with his team.
So, Coach, if you had to put it like in a nutshell, like the one key to victory for you guys to upset the Boilermakers, what would it be?
We got to make shots.
Right. Right.
You know, we defend pretty well. I look, our guys are going to compete. You know, that's the one thing. I know you all aren't familiar with us, but you know, we're not afraid of getting down and working and competing. And I think, you know, from a physical standpoint, we might not be quite as big, but I think, you know, we'll fight them there as well. We struggle offensively at times, you know, Purdue. In our conference tournament, we had three games where we held our opponents in the 50s. We're not doing that to Purdue. I mean, I'd like to, you know, think that we could guard them, but you know, 50s, that's just not going to happen. So we're gonna have to score some points. And B.J. Stith, Ahmad Kaver, and Xavier Green, our three perimeter players, you know, need to knock down some open shots.
You know, Coach, and how important is that, you know, for, you know, teams that are now taking on maybe an opponent that they don't see on a regular basis in the course of the regular season? You know, when you look at your Monarchs, when you're taking on a Purdue, or really how much has the three-point shot across the college basketball landscape over your coaching career really kind of, you know, change the balance of power and certainly making upsets and unpredictability possible in college basketball?
Yeah, I think you're right. It hasn't evened things out, but at the same time, I think it does give the little dog, the little guy, the underdog, a better chance having that three-point line. But when you look at a team like Purdue, they shoot the three as well as or better than, you know, whether it's an underdog or anybody else. They really, really utilize that three-point line. But at least that gives you a fighting chance. When you know that in most cases when it's, you know, an underdog situation, you're not going to probably be as big and strong and physical as the opponent.
You are listening to Taz Moose. I have to turn my mic on. You're listening to Taz and the Moose right now. Our special guest is ODU men's basketball head coach. That's Jeff Jones. Hey, Coach, so, you know, for the first time since 2011, the Monarchs, you guys are going dancing, right? So, I mean, how do you just break down a couple of your leaders on your team, your upperclassmen or what have you, guys that are keeping the locker room to not make this moment too big, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd start with Ahmad Kaver, who's our point guard. You know, he was all-league this year. He was all-league last year. You know, he does a little bit of everything for us. If he played at a Power 5, and he's fully capable of, you know, I mean, he could start for a bunch of the, you know, the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC teams at the point guard spot, I think, if he was at any of those schools. He's terrific with the ball. He has a great assist to turnover ratio. He scores for us. He defends, and more than anything, he's just experienced. He averages almost 38 minutes a game. He's the all-time minute guy at Old Dominion. You know, he's just been an Iron Man for us, and he's great. He goes about it. You know, he's a little bit more quiet than our other captain, B.J. Stith, but he's just a great leader and. You know, we've won a lot of close games this year, and I think his leadership out there on the floor, he doesn't get rattled, he doesn't panic, and so the other guys follow suit.
Hey, Coach, you know I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say our other captain, B.J. Stith, was the player of the year in the conference, and he's got a different personality, a little bit more outgoing, and he's done a great job with the leadership as well.
Yeah, and you know this, Coach, better than anybody. You know how important guard play is in college basketball, especially, you know, to prevent runs, to calm a team down, to get you in the right offensive set, to get you doing what you want to do. Because certainly, you know, when you get to the tournament, you know, emotions can run high. It's the big stage, everything like that. You know, that veteran guard play and leaders that are running it at the point, I mean, that's exactly what a head coach is looking for, correct?
There's no question. I would probably argue that even if you look at the NBA game now, the way it's evolved, you know, that's become a guards league as well. So I think having great guard play at any level of basketball is truly, truly one of the most important components of having a successful team.
Hey, Coach, your team is 7-3 in games decided by 3 points or less, right? So the keys for you guys winning these close and tight, you know, what's the keys here? You're winning these tight games. What's the key for you guys going into this game with Purdue if you can keep it tight?
Well, I think a lot of it is just mental. We won 3 games. We won at the buzzer in our quarterfinals. We won with about 4 seconds to go. Had a 2-point win in the semifinals, and then the championship game against Western Kentucky. Heck, that was a virtual blowout. We won by 6. We've been in lots and lots of these close games. Our guys just don't blink. You know, they've been there before. They don't panic. And the thing that we probably do best is compete. And so when we're in a tight game, we've had that experience. You know, it's not something new. It's not something they're afraid of. And they just kind of keep on working, keep on pushing forward and grinding.
We're talking to Old Dominion men's basketball coach Jeff Jones as his Monarchs get set to take out Purdue. They're a 14, but the Boilermakers out of the Big Ten are a 3. Coming out of Virginia's region. Coach, very emotional for you. We'll talk a little bit about, certainly, you know, thoughts and prayers are with you as you battle prostate cancer, but we saw your the press conference after the victory over Western Kentucky. We know what it means for the players, but what does this journey mean for you in everything you've given the game in college basketball as a head coach and where you are right now?
Yeah, that moment after we beat Western Kentucky, that was kind of a confluence of a lot of thoughts and a lot of different emotions. Obviously I was very happy that we had won the conference tournament and we're going to, you know, go to the big dance. There was a certain amount of relief. It's been a few years since Old Dominion has been in the tournament, so there was that element of it. And then from a personal standpoint, you know, I announced back in September that my cancer had come back. I had been, you know, after having surgery and radiation and all that kind of stuff, I was cancer free for a while. It came back a couple years ago. I didn't say anything the first year, but then last year, because I was starting treatment, I knew that word would get out. And so I thought twofold. Number one, I wanted my players to hear it from me. And secondly, I thought that maybe by being public with it, that I could bring some awareness to prostate cancer and encourage men to get their PSA test done and hopefully catch it early. Because if you do catch prostate cancer early, it really oftentimes is a cancer that you might be able to live with, and you might be able to manage and live a long, healthy, and productive life. So. At that moment, right after we won, just the emotions of the whole thing just kind of hit me in the face, and I just kind of had to take a minute and soak it all in at that point.
And you you do deserve it. You're a great leader, leading by example, Ed, and these young men and their families around you and your own personal family. To coach at the elite level you're coaching at, what you're doing here. I tip my cap to you, sir.
Yeah, Coach, good luck against Purdue. We'll be rooting for you. We really will. Enjoy watching you on that bench and coaching for Old Dominion. And we appreciate the time this morning.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Take care, Coach. Thank you. Old Dominion men's basketball coach. That is Jeff Jones. And it was an emotional press conference after their Conference USA title victory over Western Kentucky as they get a Purdue Boilermaker team. A struggle a little bit down the stretch as well. So maybe that's an Old Dominion team. He said this team's still hungry.
How do you not pull for this guy?
Yeah, how do you not?
How do you not pull for this guy? Think about that, man.
Absolutely.
Tough.
Our thanks to Mike and Pete across the way. Great job. Bogish with the updates. Taz, fantastic as always, brother.
You too, sir.
Have yourself a wonderful Wednesday, everybody. Till tomorrow. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.